morning. My name is Maddie Beals. I'm a member here at Valley, and I just have some words that I want to share with you this morning. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people. Isaiah 40 starts with words that I think we could all hear right now, which is comfort. Life is really hard. I think we're all feeling it. We're all confused. What's going on in this world? And we could really use some words of comfort. So starting in Isaiah 40, it says, comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. But a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Comfort in the desert. We are in a desert right now. Again, with what's going on in our world, we have been stripped away of everything that brings us our normal comforts. And we have this opportunity to listen to what the Lord has to say to us. I read that in this passage, as this voice is calling out in the desert, in the wilderness, that we should actually imagine the crier as advancing into the desert, and they are summoning the people to come and make a way through the desert. So there's not an option here to go around the desert, which maybe we've all tried. We've all thought, how can I just fix this or put a Band-Aid on it? It's going to get better in a couple weeks. I can do a couple more weeks of this quarantine. I can do a couple more weeks. But this voice is calling us to walk through the desert. And these people in this time that Isaiah is speaking to, they're in exile right now. And they have paid and waited and gone through this anguish for the sins of their past and their fathers. And now this voice is saying, walk through the desert. Come out of it. Come out of the other side. So this voice in verse 6 says, okay, I'll call out in the desert, but what do I even call out? And God says, go up to a mountaintop because I have something important for all of these people to hear. I have something important to say. And I think that we get to be invited and listen to this as well. So starting in verse 10, we get to hear of all of these amazing characteristics about who God is. And I want to share them with you today. So Isaiah 40, verse 10, behold, the Lord your God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. That is so comforting that we have a God who is mighty and powerful, and he has a ruling and strong arm. Verse 11, like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arms, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom, and he will gently lead the nursing ewes. This is language for a shepherd that we have who wants to bring his sheep close to his heart. He wants to protect them, he wants to nurture them, and he wants to comfort them. In verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens by the span and calculated the dust of the earth by measure and weighed the mountains in a balance and the hills in a pair of scales? Here we have really cosmic language of God speaking so mightily of how big and strong and powerful he is that even something like a mountain is weighed in a scale or the waters are in his hand. In verse 13, who has directed the spirit of the Lord or as his counselor has informed him? With whom did he consult? Who gave him understanding? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him the knowledge and informed him of the way of understanding? Here we have a wise counselor. We have a father that knows all knowledge, that knows everything far greater than we could ever imagine. And we don't have to wonder, where is justice coming from? Where are wrongs being made right? We have the peace knowing that our father has all of that in his hand. In verse 15, behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine dust. To him, he can just brush away islands and the seas, and it's just like specks of dust to him. Again, we see how big and mighty God is. And then down in verse 18, we have, to whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare with him? As for the idol, the craftsman crafts it. A casts it, and a goldsmith plates it with gold, a silversmith fashions it, chains of silver. How could we even begin to put God into some sort of object or idol? To think that something as small and minute as silver or gold, casting a false image that could ever compare to how mighty and wonderful and loving God truly is to us. And then I think in verse 21 really hits home when he says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood the foundations of the earth?" And I think when I read that, I just realize, wow, I think I've forgotten. Sure, I've heard all of these things, but it seems that I haven't carried them with me and remembered the truths that are in this passage. He then goes on to just list off thing after thing of God's character, that he sits above the circle of the earth in verse 22, or in verse 23, he reduces rulers to nothing and makes the judges of the earth meaningless because he is the justice holder and he is the one that has all the truth. In verse 26, "Lift your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number." He calls all of those stars by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. When I think of a God who knows the cosmos so much more intimately, we don't know anything about the cosmos, right? But God knows all of the stars by name. There's something humbling about that. That when I think of how hard my day-to-day is, or my circumstances are, and they are hard, mind you, all of these things that we're going through are hard, I'm so comforted knowing that God is so much bigger and has all of this in his hand. And then in verse 27, I think it starts to get really practical for us. When we read, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God?" So he's saying, why are you saying, there's all of these injustices, no one's making them right, where is God? I feel like he's not seeing my way. He's not seeing what's actually going on. And then he says again, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths become weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." I think when I read this passage, I'm like, oh, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that peace. I'm looking for that new strength. I would love to run and not get tired, much less I would love to walk and not grow weary, because it seems like even right now, the simplest act of walking, of course, that's just comparing to the small things of our day to day, even that's making us tired. But I think what's difficult about this passage is you come back to the, yet those who wait for the Lord. So I think, okay, so I just got to wait for the Lord. I'm waiting. When's this pandemic going to go away? I'm ready for life to go back to normal. I'm ready to go back to work. I'm ready for maybe my kids to be doing their normal school. My house is really busy and full and loud. I'm waiting. But maybe you're thinking, I'm still tired. I still feel weary, and I don't feel that freedom or that strength. Where is this coming from? How do I just keep waiting? And what I want to challenge us is to look back on the rest of this passage. What did we just read? We have a sovereign God who is ruling with his power. He knows injustices, and he will right them. So if you need to know that God has a strong hand with a ruling power, then wait on him. We have a tender shepherd, a shepherd who wants to draw his people close to his heart, a shepherd that wants to comfort, to guide, to draw close, to keep away from bad things. So if you need to know that you need a shepherd who loves and cares for you, then wait on him. If you need to remember that it's really easy to focus on the small things that are hard and difficult, but become really narrow-minded and only think of what's right here, right in front of me, of what's hard, think of how big God is. He's the God of the cosmos, and he is ruling everything, and he's keeping everything afloat. So of course he cares for all of the deep and difficult things going on in your heart. So if you need to remember how big God is, then wait on him. If you need to remember that God has all knowledge, when all we have is questions, what's coming next? Where are the answers? Is a vaccine coming? What's right? What's wrong? Who do I believe? If you need to remember that there is someone who has all of the knowledge that we seek, he is wise and he wants to counsel you, then wait on him. What I really like about this passage is at the beginning of the passage in Isaiah 40, in verse 3, we have a voice is calling out, clear the way of the Lord in the wilderness, right? So we have this voice that's trying to make a way, make a path. And we know that they're going to go onto a mountaintop. They're going to shout, something's coming, right? What I think is so cool is that if we flip forward to Matthew 3, we have a description of John the Baptist. And this passage in Isaiah is quoted. And we know that this voice, both a voice to Israel in exile, is also applying to this voice of John the Baptist, who prepares the way for Jesus. And I think John the Baptist knew that we were going to need to hear a voice of comfort. We were going to need to have someone who could come and right every wrong. Someone who would come to our earth and be with his people. And we needed someone who could come, which Jesus said to his people. And he said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy